morning. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm host Teresa Watkins, and this is going to be a great show today. We're glad you're with us. What are you drinking? You having a cup of tea, cup of coffee, cup of whatever? Ooh. I don't know. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. I like that. I like the cup of whatever. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And so it is going to be a busy weekend for weather. And so we do have a tropical storm or a depression heading our way. By the time it gets to us, it will be weather. Are you all set for Debbie?
Who's Debbie?
That's the name of the tropical storm when it gets a name.
Oh, they gave it a name? You know, you think that when I did a morning show during the week and we talked about AccuWeather yesterday, but yeah, nope. Yes, I am. Yes, I got the stuff up off the garage floor in case something happens and it, you know, decides to be an overachiever and push some water into our garage, which doesn't happen, but sometimes it does.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping for, replenishing our aquifer, and that's what these storms are good for. Is, you know, we did not have a wet spring or even a rainy spring. It's usually dry, but it was even drier than normal this year. And so we do need the rain. So it looks like Debbie's going to be arriving here tomorrow through Monday. It's going to be raining on Monday. So I guess I will be doing a lot of indoor, you know, paperwork on Monday. But meteorologists are predicting all day rain, 3 to 12 inches, depending on where you are in the state. And despite my dear friend Bill, who says his area still needs to have a lot of water, you can shut your irrigation system off.
No way.
And, what? Yeah, you really? Can. You can. And that's what I would recommend. Or you can leave it on and see after you get 2 to 3 inches and just put a bucket out there and see how much it fills up. And then if your irrigation system comes on after you've gotten all the rain from Debbie, then you need to replace your irrigation rain shutoff device or either turn it on. It may be turned off. So you want to 2 inches of rain a week is plenty. No matter if you're growing fruit trees, you're growing, you know, vegetables, you're growing turf or a landscape, 2 inches is all we need. So be alert and watch for the storm warnings. Wind advisories. We're going to have some really wind coming through Central Florida. Possible tornado warnings. And so just be careful. Just make sure you're set and everything is out of the yard, is all set in place. And then just have a couple of sandwiches. We might have some electrical outages. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they'll last long. It's not expected. I'm just expecting lots of rain.
Yeah, I think this is like the prep, especially for those that are new to Florida. So, you know, don't go obnoxious. You know, go ahead and, you know, top off your gas if you can. You know, don't be obnoxious about it. And then it's kind of like anybody who's had like a newborn baby or a baby that started crawling. You get down on your hands and knees and walk around to see what the baby sees. Well, you don't pay attention to the stuff in your yard that could blow and maybe potentially hurt somebody.
Or hurt your own house.
Correct. Yes. Or yeah. And so just walk outside with a new set of eyes and look around and say, can this blow away at, you know, 30 mile an hour winds or 20 or whatever we're going to end up getting. So,
yeah. So it's just something to be aware of. This is a test. And so it's going to be a really easy weekend. And I will tell you, I love rainy days. I love rainy days. I love, you know, just watching the rain come down, having a cup of tea, and just relaxing.
That must be nice, because I wanted to throw myself on something sharp this morning when I realized we had a tropical depression coming.
Well, we do have at Peterson's Nursery today, there is going to be a lecture on fruit trees for Central Florida. That's 9:30 to 10:30. So go out there and see Howie and Karen. And the good thing about having a lecture there is you can take stuff home. Mm. So you can get your actual fruit trees from Peterson's Nursery. So
now, doesn't Peterson's and Howie have something coming up special too?
Well, I will tell you, I'm very, very, just very proud of Howie and Karen. They are Howie has been with the FNGLA for a long time, and he is getting an award in the next upcoming few weeks. And so we want to say congratulations to Howie, and a good job. And he is such an asset to the industry, the landscaping industry. and FNGLA. So we're very proud of
it. The whole Petersons family, just that generations, and just been a blessing to Central Florida. So super excited about this.
So Lizzie, you know how I love research and quotes and poetry. And I wrote my first three volumes of A Gardener's Compendium. Mm-hmm. And it's a great series on actual quotes and research and all about gardening. And so writing for my show today, just an outline of what I was going to be talking about, I was reminded of a quote: your mind is a garden, your thoughts are the seeds, the harvest can either be flowers or weeds. And I thought, well, that's just perfect for today because I'm going to be talking about weeds and seeds. And but if you research the quote, it says William Wordsworth said it. And I'm going, what? Yeah, 19th century. I don't think William Wordsworth said that.
Did they have weeds back then?
Pretty ones. And then I saw where Osho Rajneesh, who is an Indian mystic, he said it. And this is what drives me crazy about the internet. They just say, okay, this person said it, you know, because Lincoln said you can't believe everything you read on the internet, right? And so, but what I found out was that the person who actually said, your mind is a garden, your thoughts are the seeds, the harvest can either be flowers or weeds, is Wilford Arlen Petersen. He was 1900 to 1995. He's an American author who wrote for This Week magazine, and he wrote a monthly column for Science of Mind, and he wrote 9 books, and they were very popular. In fact, one of his poems on marriage, from The Art of Marriage, his book, is said a lot at weddings now. So he's good. So that's going to be our show for today, Weeds and Seeds. Getting a lot of emails on it. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. If it's Saturday morning, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Came back from Ireland with a different perspective of so-called weeds, plants that come up seasonally, annual, or perennial. And they were so beautiful in Ireland. They have mass expanses of grass, which we do here in Florida too as well. But I wanted to touch base on it because this summer I've been getting a lot of questions on weeds. And Peter just sent me a email on his weeds growing in his bahia grass. And Peter, at the end, I'm going to start. I'll tell you what to do with those. But it's just a little bit different perspective, a little bit less stressful, and just an appreciation of what we have here in Florida. So I want to encourage our parks, our cities, our counties, and homeowners to return to a less, more relaxed, less stress, and less maintenance yard. And I want to have more bucolic native grasses and ground covers, natural, seasonal, beautiful vistas that attract pollinators, that are good for the environment, that attract wildlife. And even in the city, we can do this. And so if we do have more areas of ground covers, more areas of plants, and even just turf with weeds in them. And I say weeds again with the apostrophe, the quote marks, because I want you to look at them in a different way. We're going to have less heat islands in the urban areas. We're going to have, it's going to be less expensive to maintain, and also to, again, better for the environment. So I want to start by saying, we should extend our landscapes out to the perimeter of our properties and allow our homes to breathe. We have a lot of foundational plantings, and this trend started back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, where we just started pushing everything up against the house. And it creates, disease and insect issues, especially with termites if we overwater. And we just want to make sure that we open up our yards so that they're healthier. And so we can still have modern landscapes, we can still have, beautiful landscape designs, but allow the ability for homeowners to naturalize their yards. Now, I'm not talking about HOAs. HOAs have strict landscape guidelines, and they're allowed to have those, and they're legal, and they should have them. So I just want to caution people, though, that once you agree to live in an HOA, you kind of agree to their rules.
Exactly.
And so if you want to have, your own style of landscaping, then you need to buy your own property.
Yeah, and also you need to check with your local ordinance, because even if you think that you live out in the county country, you need to make sure that the ordinance isn't still owned by a city that's...
Yes, got designated areas,
exactly.
Common areas, and
yes,
and yes, their boundaries expanded. Yes, that's right. But also, too, you want to allow people to change their landscapes and the look and the feel of it. But it's going to take people to show it can be done. So you're going to have to see examples of it. And that's why I'm encouraging city parks and county parks to do this. If you want more birds and wildlife, plant resources that attract them. Do you want a pollinator garden? Then grow for it. Just plant resource. Just remember the sustainable mantra. You want to assess your site, your soil conditions, right plant, right place, and use best management practices to take care of your landscape. Right now, I'm designing for a client that is a custom home. It's way out in the boondocks. It's on private property. We're going to have a beautiful drive with native plants and wildflowers on both sides of the long driveway. We're going to have a meadow in the backyard.
What?
Instead of turf, we're going to have a meadow. And then they're going to have the driveway, but then they're also going to have an area with turf pavers, so for extra parking. And so instead of having, a solid heat island with additional cement and stone, we're going to have the turf pavers. And then also they're going to have a sanctuary garden that's going to be romantic and a pool with a tropical landscape. And then in the future, they're going to have a pickleball court. So they've got the property to do all this with. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying you can have a landscape you want. If you think about what you want, do a little research and have a little bit of an effort, and you can do it in phases. It doesn't have to be expensive. Sustainable doesn't mean more work, more cost. And so, for weeds, let's talk about weeds. The first thing you need to do is identify them. Okay. Once you know what the weed is, then you know how to take care of it. We are constantly, as a culture, putting down herbicides on plants that we think are weeds, but it's the wrong time of year. It's not the right weed or herbicide for that plant. And so you want to identify it first. And today when we update our Facebook page with today's podcast, then I will also put links for identification and get some resources for you. So the season when to apply the herbicide to completely get rid of it is important to know, and it may take two applications or two seasons, which I think is what the issue is with Peter's weed problem. And so with Peter's, though, he has bahia grass and he has the weed coming up through it. So that tells me that the bahia grass isn't really dense enough for to prevent weeds. You got to have a thick turf, competition to keep those weed seeds out. And you don't want to have bare areas in your landscape. If you have bare areas, that's where the weeds are going to get in and they're going to germinate, and then you start the weed issue. Okay, so what's good for Peter is, though, his weeds are very low and they can be mowed easily. And what I'm suggesting, Pete, you don't want to apply herbicides in the summertime. When the temperatures are over 85 degrees, the herbicide is going to kill more plants, including your grass, than it will the weeds. The weeds are going to probably get a little bit of a decline, but they're not going to get totally killed because of the temperatures. And so when it's over 85 degrees, don't put it down. But you could put down bahia seed and get some more bahia grass growing there. And you can do that now. After Debbie goes through, it'll be a perfect time. We can plant bahia grass seed right now. You want to use Argentina bahia grass rather than the centipede, because Argentina bahia grass has less Y seeds. Okay, so it's a little bit better variety of bahia grass. And so you want to have a thick grass, okay? So plant bahia grass right now. Get that grass growing thick. And then it's going to go away in the wintertime because of it's an annual weed. And so it comes up in spring and early summer and continues through till late summer. And it's a broadleaf weed. I think it's Creeping Charlie, but they were kind of declining. So it looks like they are on their way out right now. So the key to a weed-free lawn is a healthy, full lawn that is watered correctly. Don't overwater. Weeds love water. Has proper nutrition. You want to make sure that it has the nutrients in the soil. Get a soil test before you fertilize that will tell you exactly what you need to put down. And you want to maintain it properly. You do not want to scalp, you know, your turf. You do not want to over prune your areas, your garden beds, so that you can get some more competition in there. And then, Peter, if you do want to put down an herbicide, wait until October. I'll be telling you guys to put your herbicides down in October. Wait till then. And if you're going to use a product like Ortho Weed Be Gone, okay? And so wait till October, though, because it's just not necessarily going to work as well right now. So what can you plant instead of turf? Let me go through this list. And again, I will post this list on our Facebook page later on this afternoon. So you want to have a plants that can be introduced into the landscape for low maintenance, and instead of high maintenance foundational plants, you can plant black-eyed Susans, blue-eyed grass, broom sedge, Carolina redroot, clover, cosmos, coreopsis, dandelion, dichondra, ferns, frog fruit, heliotropium, which is heliotrope, lemon bacopa, lizard's tail. I love lizard's tail. Lyre leaf sage, marlberry, Mimosa strigulosus powder puff is a good choice for full sun areas. Partridge berry, pestamon, pony's foot, and purple love grass. Rain lilies. I love rain lilies. All my rain lilies will be coming up right after Debbie goes through. Rayless sunflowers. Lizzie, I have to get you some rayless sunflowers. They have the black centers with no petals. They look really cool. It looks really cool.
I'm excited.
Okay. Tropical sage, twin flower, spider wort, and violets. And have these instead of a massive expanse of turf. Okay? So that will be more helpful. We'll post all of these plants on our Facebook page. If you'd like to email me, you can go to our website, betterlawns.com. Give me your email address, and I will send it to you. We're coming up on your phone calls in the next half hour. We'd love to hear from you. Call me at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 and just give us your name and your location on the text messages. Lizzie will get your name and location when you call in. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear from you. Tell me how you're doing with this storm coming up. Are you prepared? And what's going on in your gardens right now?
Yes.
So we'd love to hear that. So, give us your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680.
That's right. And make me more hungry than I already am by texting us what you're baking, if you're baking for the not hurricane that we have coming.
Yeah, there you go. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Do you have a gardening question that you need answers to? Call me at 888-455-2967, or you can text 23680, and we will get you. You want to put your name and location into it, and you want to prepare for Debbie this week, and it's going to be Sunday and Monday now, so you want to make sure that you're listening to WFLA and all the weather forecasts. Right, Lizzie?
That's right. Definitely stay in touch with us because we have complete updates constantly from AccuWeather. And then if something happens and this does turn into a hurricane, heaven forbid, we are live here in Orlando. So just download that iHeart radio app and look for WFLA Orlando.
Thank you. And so so we're getting some text messages in. And we have one person who said use baking soda on weeds. And it doesn't necessarily prevent weeds. Yes, you can put it into a sock and shake it on your weeds. But you have to remember that it is going to turn the weeds black and cause them to die and decline. But it is also going to leave a bare spot. So you want to make sure you have thick, thick grass. That's the key. Not thatch. Thatch comes from overwatering and over-fertilizing. Okay, so you don't want to have thatch. But you want to make sure your grass is dense enough that you don't get the weed seeds. You want to be preventative, okay? So just make sure of what your practices are. And so JAC in Cocoa Beach said, please define full sun versus part sun versus shade. And a follow-up question, what is under porous material cover called? What is under porous material cover called? Okay. I'll think about that. A little bit confusing, JAC. Okay, so full sun, 8 hours or more of sunlight a day. Okay, partial sun is morning sun, afternoon shade. Afternoon sun, morning shade. Okay, so it is 5 to 6 hours of sunlight a day during one portion of the morning or afternoon. That is partial shade. And then full shade is 5 hours or less of sun a day. Okay, so those that 5 hours or less of sun a day, it's on underneath tree canopies. It is the zero lot line between your houses where the walkway area is only about 15 feet wide, 20 feet wide. And you get sunlight from, let's say, 1:25 through 2 o'clock. Okay, you're not getting a lot of sunlight in between the houses, anywhere where a building is covering it. So there, full shade is 5 hours or less of sunlight a day. Great question. Now, I don't know what you mean. What is under porous material cover called? Are you talking about fabric mesh, landscaping mesh that gets put underneath rocks? You do not want to put landscape fabric underneath your mulch or around your landscape beds. It is not recommended. Okay, because weed seeds will grow in it and you'll have a weed issue just the same. So, but we do put it underneath rocks, anywhere where there's pathways, anywhere where you're putting down rock as a mulch, you definitely want to use that landscape fabric. So, JAC, text me back and let me know if I answered the question or if there's something I'm missing. So, Mike in Venice. Good morning, Mike. Mike is a very, very favorite listener down in Venice. Good morning, Teresa. We're looking forward to some good rain in Venice this weekend. That's good. He's been in a very severe drought. He is going to go to his breakfast with his sweetheart of 44 years to celebrate his birthday. And he will be 80 years old. So
happy
congratulations,
birthday.
Mike. That is wonderful.
Well, congratulations on the sweetheart for 44 years. It's, that's pretty impressive.
It is. They are both impressive. So congratulations and enjoy. And we'll see you on the podcast side. So I appreciate that. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to John in Mulberry. Good morning, John. How can I help you?
Well, I have this plant. It's a flower. It's like a hanging down, upside down flower, like a bell.
Okay.
And it's kind of white, and it's about 2 foot tall. I just planted it from a plant I found that somebody threw away.
Oh, wow.
And it has white splotches on the leaves. It looks like somebody threw paint on it, and is that a mold or what?
Well, I don't know unless I see it. It could be paint. It could be a kind of mold or fungus on it. It's probably an angel's trumpet. So I think angel's trumpet is the upside down bell that's white. Does it have like a skirt on the bottom of it? Is it like frilly?
Sort of.
Yeah. Okay, so that's angel's trumpet. I don't know what the spots are, though, John. But if you, how many leaves does it have on it? Because you said they threw it away.
It's really doing good. A lot of flowers, a lot of leaves. Just got the white spots on the leaves. That's the only thing I see.
Okay, but they're apart. Are they? Do they look like they're on top of the leaf, or are they in it, or does it look like it's part of the foliage? Is it maybe variegated?
It looks like it's on top of it. It's like a dull white spots.
Okay. It could be powdery mildew or some kind of fungal issue. So, but I would just pull those leaves off. If you've got plenty of leaves, just trim those off and throw them away.
Okay. That'll solve the problem, I hope.
If they get continued, let's say you pull them off, and then in the next week to 2 weeks, you see them coming, reappearing on new leaves, then it's not paint. And then you have a fungal issue, okay? And so that's what I'm saying. Pull those leaves off. If they're part of the old plant that you took off from the side of the road, go ahead and pull those off and put them in the garbage and see if it happens again. You want to make sure that you're growing angel's trumpet in full sun, no shade, and that it has good air circulation.
Okay, I'll give that a try.
Okay, and call me back, John.
All the time.
All right, let me know.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, John. And so fabric canopy. Fabric canopy. Okay, so fabric canopy, JAC, are you talking about the sailcloth for, putting overhead to get out of the shade? I think that's what I would call it. Other than that, it's either landscape fabric, mesh. And so I don't know what it is. What was your question about it? What is the under-porous material cover called? There is a type of material called sailcloth, and it allows for shade. Guess what? If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I am going to move over from my personal Facebook page to Better Lawns and Gardens, a yard that I'm kind of, that I have as an example of what you can do to your yard to get rid of some of your turf and have more foundational plants, but not right up close to the house. And so it is an example of how you can expand without creating more work. And so, I'll do that during the break so you can get it. And so also too, August is the best time to dig up and divide your perennials, like your amaryllis, your African irises, your agapanthus. After they bloom, you can go ahead and daylilies, ornamental grasses you can remove. And up north, you can divide your hostas, your oriental poppies, your lilies, and your bearded irises. So what you want to do is use a spade to lift the plant from the ground, and you want to be very careful not to hurt the root ball, and be as careful as possible. When the clump is out of the ground, you want to use a large garden knife. I like to use serrated steak knives or a spade to cut it into smaller pieces, and then you just replant the smaller pieces and as soon as possible in the areas you'd like them, or share with your friends. And then some ornamental grasses, and I see this a lot in medians, where the ornamental grasses like muley grass, dwarf fakahatchee, die out in the center, and it creates, the whole plant just starts to die. So when you're dividing your grasses, if there is an area that is declining, cut that out. So you dig the muley grass up, you see that it's starting to decline in the center, Then you divide the grass up, cut it in half, and then cut out the dead parts, and then replant the muley grass, you know, pieces that you have, and that will make it healthier. It's just a natural way, it's a natural process in the ornamental grass that the interior dies out. It just is. And it does spread by seeds, but it also spreads by division. And so you can go ahead and do that. So make sure you're looking at your muley grasses. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. What can you be planting this month for your August vegetables? You can be planting cantaloupe, collards, corn, cucumbers, eggplant, lima beans, okra, pepper and pumpkin, snap beans and southern peas, your squash, tomatoes, and you can still be planting watermelon right now. You know, what kind of bulbs can you be planting? Again, if you're going to buy new ones, you can be planting African irises, agapanthus, amaryllis, blood lilies, bulbines and cannas and crinums. And on my Facebook page, and I think I posted it on Better Lawns and Gardens. If not, I'll share it. Crocosmia, the beautiful red flowers on Crocosmia. They're gorgeous, and they do well here in Florida. Daylilies, gladiolas, gloriosa lilies, they're blooming right now. Kaffir lilies, Louisiana irises, and society garlic, star flowers, rain lilies, of course. And I will tell you, Plant Delights Nursery in North Carolina is having a great sale on rain lilies right now. Tuberoses and walking irises. And so those are the plants you can be planting right now. And they'll do well. This rain will make the ground wonderful to garden in. And it's just going to be a wonderful way to get some color in your yard. You know, plant some bulb plants. And, you know, Lizzie's going, I have nothing.
I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, you know, they're getting so close to making plastic plants look really real. And I'm just so excited for the next 10 years.
But plastic plants are not low maintenance. You have to dust them. They get dirty.
But they're getting better where you just hose it off real quick and just get it over with. It's like
blasphemer.
Okay. All right. I want our listeners to text us at 23680. Am I the only person out here that will get something and make it look like my little area, my little garden area with flowers, and it's gorgeous? And then something happens, like, I don't know, HE double hockey sticks, a wind comes through and just totally wipes out my stuff. And then I'm just like, I don't even know why I wasted 2 days redoing all this and mulching it and getting dirty. And then it took me about 3 days to get the dirt out from underneath my nails.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it, but, you know, and it is, it's good because it's good exercise.
Well,
and
it
stuff.
Is. It's good exercise, but it also, too, tells you, okay, so in that location, you get wind, so you're going to have stronger plants there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that don't help me. Thanks, Teresa. No, that is good information. I will actually take note for next year. That's why something told me not to plant my sunflower seeds that you gave me yet.
Yes.
For that reason, and because of the summer heat, I think that's why I didn't. I just kept holding off and holding off. Because you know me, I'm a sunflower.
Yes,
and I'm a black-eyed Susan person.
Yes.
And let me tell you what, I had some serious black-eyed Susans this year. They survived the heat. But then I'm glad I didn't do my sunflowers because I don't know if they would have survived what we had.
Yeah. No, I agree. And you got to, I just want to see your black-eyed Susans. That would be great. Did you save the seeds?
Yes, I did.
You
just
are awesome.
Just because you told me to.
Yes. Oh, excellent. All right, so JAC in Cocoa Beach, he said, when replanting vegetable plants in the same pot, say okra or cherry tomato, is it better to pull up the old plant or cut it off at the soil line? If cut it off, will not the old core and root structure impede the new seed root growth? So okra, once it flowers, I mean, so you're saying that you would want to, JAC, you know, replant the okra year after using that same plant. You just want to keep it continuing. I don't necessarily think you need to cut it off, cherry tomatoes or the okra. You can cut it back. It will continue to regrow. The cherry tomato will be fine, especially if it's an Everglades tomato or one of Gary Bachman's heirloom heritage cottage tomato seeds, cherry tomatoes, the Siberian red, I think. We'll be talking about that the next hour. But it's better to go ahead. I don't know whether one or the other is better. So I just think it is. And so the root structure should still be the same. I would actually, if you transplant it over to another pot with new soil in it, I would actually cut a third of the roots off and then put it back into the pot. Okay, JC, I think that will be better for it, and it'll stimulate it a little bit. Let's go to Alice. Good morning, Alice. How can I help you?
Well, I wish you would come out and look at my grass, because I have Bermuda grass in three-fourths of my lawn, but in a good portion of my land, it has turned into, I don't want to call it bahia. I don't know what it is, but it grows so differently than Bermuda. And I'm trying to get rid of it by pulling it up and planting little bits of Bermuda, but the Bermuda always dies, and I don't know what to do about
it. Well, Alice, this is a tough year for grass. Now, do you have an irrigation system?
No, ma'am. That's part of the problem.
This year, you know, with the drought, you're just going to have an issue planting grass. And so the rain's starting to come back. You know, this week you'll get some rain, so it's a good time to plant some of the bahia afterwards, because it'll take it. And as long as you have rain, you're going to have to get out there and hand water it, though, if you want it to survive.
Okay. Yeah, I've been using a sprinkler, but...
Or use your sprinkler. That's fine. You know, you said, I didn't realize you had an oscillating sprinkler. So, yes, use your sprinkler.
Yeah, a hand-moved one, so I move it around, but...
Okay, so I want you to. So what I want you to do, Alice, is I want you to take a tuna fish, cat food, or dog food can, put it out where your oscillating sprinkler is, and make sure you're watering long enough in that area to fill that can up to 1/2 inch. Mark 1/2 inch in the can, put it out there, and time it so that you're putting down the same amount of water everywhere, and it's getting enough.
Yeah, that would take a lot of time, I think, to get that much in a bucket. But
yes, that's what I'm saying, is that you need to put down enough. So, you know, if it takes 30 minutes or 40 minutes, then they can do it. Thanks for the call. I'll appreciate it. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about seeds and what kind of seeds you could be planting right now, how to plant them. I'm going to give you a great soil recipe for starting your seeds. And we're going to talk about what seeds are salt tolerant. So we want to we're just going to delve into more seeds, weeds and seeds this weekend. We're also going to have the dirty word of the day. And my newsletter comes out this weekend. If you do not have access to the newsletter, you can go to my webpage, which is www.she-consulting.com, or just Google Teresa Watkins, Better Lawns and Gardens newsletter, and you'll find it. And also, I will post it on our Facebook, Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page. So you can check that out. And that will be great. Lizzie, thank you so much. We're going to be back for another really strong hour. Write this phone number down, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. Write it down. Have it in your phone. And you can call us. And I just want to say to our sponsors, we have great sponsors, Black Cow, Dana at Quality Green Specialist. That nursery has all of the fruit trees and plants and herbs that you want to grow in your garden. They are a great company. We do appreciate it. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and SummitResponsibleSolutions.com, I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show, go to betterlawns.com. The podcasts are located there. Betterlawns.com.